Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, IDSF, for allowing me to be on this panel. Now, the trouble is that afternoon, you know, it means half the day is gone and all that had to be said has been said. But I'm not going to talk so much about cybersecurity. I'm going to talk about the business of war and how war has taken a new frame in this 21st century. And what have we, so let us ask ourselves, and I will try and put it to you and ask you to answer yourself two questions. A, what have we learned from the 21st century? 12 years have passed. What have we learned from the 21st century? And secondly, are we safer than the 20th century? Now, the second question, I think the answer is universal. Do we really consider ourselves safer? When year 2000 broke, we just finished the Kargil conflict and we thought we had everything in control. Life was safer. Today it isn't. Today you have this hydra of terrorism and different manifestations and biological weapons and SARS and pandemics coming up. So look back to the trends, and that brings me to the first question. What have we learned from the 21st century? You had, you know, we used to laugh when we heard in 1914 the Archduke of Ferdinand was killed, shot at Sarajevo by one bullet which started the First World War. I said, what ridiculous. But look at three incidents. 9/11, 19 bomb pilots flew planes into the tower which started the global war on terror. Five or six terrorists attacked the House of Parliament on 13th of December 2001. We started a two-year deployment. 26/11, 10 people had the whole country up in arms. The point I'm saying is 21st century has told you asymmetry is the key. And that's the first incident. And how cyber comes into this is for, I will talk about later. You've had disasters in the 21st century. The tsunamis was, I've been there, I've been through it. You had, and you thought things would be better with a country like Japan, but look what happened last year. They managed it better, but the fact is that they were still vulnerable. You've had weather patterns changing. You've had pandemics, you've heard the SARS, you've heard the swine flu. What a lot of hullabaloo was made about it. The era of biological weapons or poisoning societies or poisoning cities is coming back. You got the rate and pace of change. The NSA mentioned the speed of light that computers act at. We were thinking of kinetic weapons, but today we are in a different era. You've talked of the exponential growth, and more so in the knowledge domain. So I think the answer from what have we learned from the 21st century is uncertainty and ambiguity, analog and digital. And I belong to the analog era. I'm glad most of the audience, young, a lot are from the digital. And more important, from the kinetic to the abstract. So this is what I'm going to talk about. Now, most of you would have seen a very interesting video that Sony put out, I think in 2010. Did you know? And there are two points which it made, which I thought are relevant to today's discussion in cyber war, is that the first point he said was that the top 10 jobs in 2010 were not even thought of in 2004. And the second point that he made is that you are preparing students for jobs that don't exist, for using technologies that haven't been invented to resolve problems we do not know. Related to the internet, the way it's grown, and you know, you will see rise and fall and patterns changing. There was in 2008, there was a social networking site called MySpace. It was the panacea of that time, 200 million users. In 3 years, it has been sold. It has died. You've got Facebook today with 900 million users as of the latest figure. You've got Twitter with 200 million tweets a day. Why am I talking about these social network sites? The NSA has mentioned they are going to increasingly change the way people start thinking and working. And why, when we talk of the private sector, and this is something I should put to you as far as cyber war is concerned, I think we are going back to the 17th century or the early 18th century. When the East India Company came to India, it had to protect its assets. And how did it do so? By raising a company of levies, running a private army. As internet dominates global commerce and governance, I am convinced, and maybe it's already there, most of the global internet service providers and giants like Amazon, etc., must be having their own internet armies to protect their systems. Have we as a government thought of that? And have we as a government, in what Gulshan mentioned about the public-private partnership, take into account that there is these vast armies which commercial interests dictate these corporations maintain, and how we can combine to build up a proper national response? So how is it related to today's discussion? I'm not going to repeat the points made in the report. I'll just highlight one or two. But I think I'm going to talk, which some of you may say is fantasy, but understand, when I gave that scenario, and some media say it can't happen. And there are realists and skeptics. You've got a gentleman called Bruce Shiner. He's very good. He raises your morale each time you read it. He said nothing of this bunkum will happen. But my question to all of you is, can you tell me for certainty it will not happen? And if it does, then it's what the NSA said. We are paid to think bad thoughts. Now let me, for easier understanding, let me relate to the war scenario of 21st century to the game of football. And why I choose football is because it's the most popular game in the world. I didn't mention cricket for Indians. 20th century war was like a normal football, a proper field with stadium, 11 players, fixed goalposts, a period of 90 minutes. You know, predictable. 21st century, let us change that to a hollow sphere, the size of a football field. You got moving goalposts. You got an unlimited and uncertainty in the number of players. Some are visible, some are not. You got players who got the ability to float around in this miasma. The time is of irrelevance because there'll be long periods of lull with a sudden flash of activity. There's no start. There is no finish. And all this is not in a stadium. It's performed before a global audience. Now, that is the kind of war which I see in the 21st century. Because it'll hit the people. It is what you call the no-contact war. And cyber, though technically restricted to the internet, technically, with the other mobile communication devices, the NSA mentioned the 381 million phones, today now has a global reach and will affect everybody. By 2015, there will be twice the number of devices connected to the internet than there are people. And I understand that the number of internet users or usage of internet is forecasted to go up 9 times in India. Now that's huge numbers. And therefore, you have got a cause to worry. And why have you got a cause to worry? Because as India grows, you live in a competitive world. You are a source of investment. You're a source of labor. And life is never as simple as it made out to be. They're bound to be inimical states. As the resources are limited, they will compete for it. And today, you have got our larger neighbors, China, who is way ahead. After the Gulf War, they decided that they couldn't match the number, by their numbers couldn't match the Americans as far as warfare is concerned or their technology. So they chose this war of informationalization, high-tech war under information conditions, and have, since the 90s, built up a very strong, capable force. We know that war as was fought in 62 is not a reality. And if it is fought in that manner, we can hold up them. But what if they fight in this new football field of the 21st century? And I can tell you that having considered analysis, our humiliation would be even greater and more visible. And therefore, today, as mentioned, it's not the territorial integrity you're protecting, but your systems, your banking, your financial, your transport, your people, your health, your civic services. And we talk of e-governance, we talk of the Aadhaar, we talk of the Akash tablet. All that will be affected by, and therefore, to protect this nation, you have to protect your reputation as a nation, faith in its growth and investment, and ensure trust of the people. So India, that is so much as the kind of war. And I will just highlight a few points now. India is a target, and the question was asked. There have been n number of attacks. Please understand that most of these attacks are in the nature of what is called cyber exploitation. In other words, they are silent. Any nation who wants to penetrate your networks to understand how it works will never reveal its identity, and you will never know what is happening. They gather knowledge, espionage, intelligence, and there are enough indicators that China, which incidentally has 1,200 labs of American companies doing research, has got downloaded tetra and megatetrabytes of information of defense network. The Lockheed Martin, the F-35, is widely publicized. So as a nation, I think all of us are involved if we want to ensure our growth and well-being. Cyber warfare, I think the NSA has spoken. But the point is, I want to make is that war in the Clausewitzian term was complete. Today, it's got a different connotation, and it's built up by the media, by the visibility it has. And the ability, I gave you the example of the 21st century, how few people, there's this aspect of asymmetry which brings about, and I told you about the global war in territory. A few issues which I thought we must highlight is that we've got a national cybersecurity policy draft, which I think, has it been finalized? But in that, we need to that deals with really the security aspects. We really need to classify the objectives to ensure deterrence, because that's a visible document. And that leads me on to the legal framework. The IT Act provides strength under Section 69 and 70 to ensure no miscreants take advantage of the internet. But alongside this, the laws of armed conflict and Section 51 of the UN Charter provides you the ability for self-defense. And defense, as Nitin had mentioned, cannot be in isolation without some form of offensive action. Protection of critical infrastructure has been covered, but we need to, in the policy, enunciate measures of self-defense. We should mention it as a part of doctrine so that everybody knows. After all, the whole world is doing it. The US has a proactive, prepared operation group. And the other reason why we need to build up this offensive capability is war. And here, we are fully aware that the Chinese, as a part of preparation of the battlefield, will launch and have hardened their networks, have used fiber optic buried cables to make sure they attack all your ISR, that is the intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance means, as render your system, as also render your systems redundant or failed by a cyber attack. If so, we need to prepare for war, and it's a matter of time. Raising of a cyber command is the obvious, and I think the privacy concerns, if we follow the guidelines of the US cyber command, because that country, like us, is a democracy with vibrant views, and those privacy concerns need to be addressed even when we are raising our own. But the guidelines of the US cyber command must apply to us, and we can take on the questions later, but I think for the structure for India is that it should, like the US, form a part of our strategic forces command, because the strategic forces command in the US has the cyber command and the space command within it, because both these domains have a lot in common, and it must incorporate the certs from each service, the intelligence operations, the defense communication networks, and the cyber operations required for the battlefield. The beauty about cyber, as was mentioned by Nitin, is that unlike these complicated and expensive weapon systems, it's a low-cost option. It requires manpower, and I think it's a fraction of the cost by which you can ensure proper defense in the scenario of the no-contact 21st century war. It's also for the youth, the digital eras. And I think we need to have different systems, contracts, simpler and faster procedures to keep up with the times. But I think a fewer number, it is that famous saying of the Battle of Britain, you can, by a small cyber command, which even the US is not more than about 20,000, use so few to do so much for the country. You know, that's the Battle of Britain, which they said Churchill. Social networks, I would like to spend a little time on this. India today has 45.8 million users on the Facebook. That's 4% of your population. Now, that may be a ploy, but I'm just trying to give you the numbers. And 4% of your population, which is the opinion makers. And as was brought out, that the Arab Spring and even the London riots used the social network media, states and governments must understand that whilst one wing will do utmost to damage the reputation of the government, they must be ready to interact in ways that cannot be public. I will leave it at that, and but we must definitely have people who are from the national security side onto the social network media, seeing what is happening, putting up public opinions. And as I said, if you can get 4 million tweets on the IPL, surely somebody should be tweeting. Capacity building, et cetera, is there. Language training is one point which I must highlight. And here, in the army, when we were there, we said that we had this issue in the lighter vein, and I think I've mentioned it, that they said that the lady officers, they must be granted 14 years, and there are certain, but I feel that this is one field in which they can play a great role. I mean, if you've all seen the videos of the drone controllers in Utah in US controlling, and half of them are ladies. So I think, language training, continuity of the job, this has a great scope. The last point I wish to make is, where do you get the manpower and how do you train so many people without a need? I'm convinced that just as 2611 produced, and maybe an economist will disagree, but it produced 20 million new jobs for India in terms of security services, there's going to be an increasing need for cyber sleuths, doctors, who can keep the internet going. I've spoken about these private armies, but there's going to be a huge potential, and therefore, it's a win-win situation. And it will, in my opinion, become sustainable. Somebody says that the cyber war is unseen. I will only conclude by saying, see the unseeable, think the unthinkable, and do the undoable. Thank you.
I think we've had different points of view, and I'd now like to ask perhaps General Sachdeva, Major General Sachdev, as DGMO representative, to say something to us.